Fab to see you all. Our new people online, although we can't see you, we know you're there, and we just pray God's incredible blessing upon you. So, cue screen. Not that one. That one. Thank you. Yeah, I just get the buzz that so many people are getting so much out of this book that everybody's got hold of. And certainly in our life group on Tuesday night, we had just a great night, just chewing over just a few statements out of the early chapters and verses of this book. But during the month of June, the dates are there. We're going to spend 4 weeks. Obviously we can't cover the book in 4 weeks. We want to get the sense and spirit of what Ortberg is saying here and what the scriptures teach us out of this great book. So obviously fortnight today, no service next Sunday. And then for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at this under the title of Flourish, because that's what this is about, just seeing people's lives flourish. And I don't know whether you picked one up in the in reception as you came in, but we've got a lot of these. Please take a handful of them and use them at will. By that, if you want to be stealth-like and you're visiting somewhere that's got a waiting room, doctor's hospital, anywhere like that, take a few and just sneakily put them on the table, you know what I mean? And if anybody says anything, just mention my name, Pete, and... and you get away with it all. Not. Please, yeah, grab a handful of those on the way out and just give them out to neighbours, friends. If you're at a street party next week, give them out there or wherever you can find. There's some great stuff in there. It's not, you know, it's not over the top in any way like that. Read it first for yourself just to be convinced, but just a great little handout to just share some faith and provoke some thought over the next week or two. We're going to share communion in a short while. And I think what I just want to share with you this morning, I think could be life-changing. Because I believe the book that we preach from is a life-changing book. It's transformational, and there's so many characters and stories in there where we see transformation happen. Why? Because God comes onto the scene. Not just because God comes onto the scene, but because people respond to that. And so follow my stories, follow where we're going to go with this, and let's just go with this for the next few minutes. Close your eyes, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the joy of sharing together in life and listening to your word together. And we pray now, Lord, that as we look at these incredible statements from the New Testament, that they would speak into our lives, they would challenge our lives, and from this moment onwards, we would be different people because of what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Ryan. Prepare and see. 2008, 14 years ago, we were sort of expecting it, but a letter dropped through our door. First time I'd ever had a letter from the Department of Transport. Because what was happening was that somebody had made a plan and there was an intention to do something and some changes needed to be made. The plan was HS2. And 14 years ago, we got the letter through our door, as some of you know, sort of saying, the train is going to come through your house, so we probably need to move the house, basically. And all these years later, here it is up and running. We're online, so I can't say anything, but... So, yeah, that was 14 years ago, believe it, and obviously many years before that, the plan had started, so it's been on the go quite a while now. But because of the intention and purpose of some people, the landscape had to change. Hold that picture and thought. Because you see, as we meet Christ, and as we then begin to grow in our faith, the same applies. If we are going to really take on board the kingdom of God and become part of that, then something has got to either adapt or change or remove or transform. People have often said God loves us so much that he cannot leave us as we are, and that's why he begins to make adjustments and changes. But of course, the idea is that we have to respond. This isn't just sitting there in some nonchalant way and God's making all this sort of, you know, painting the outside and doing a few bits and hoping you look a bit more godly, Christian, righteous. There's that sense of working together with God. It's called discipleship. Now, if you go back in history, and the same's today, and I've got a story in a bit just to illustrate that, a mad story, really. But throughout history, there was this sort of image, particularly in the times when the verses I'm going to share in a minute were written, where if a dignitary, perhaps a king or somebody in sort of noble position, was about to come into town, they would send a herald. And that herald would go ahead and announce that whoever it was going to be visiting your town 2 months from now. So sort yourselves out. So straight away, the whoever's of the city, the governors, whoever, would make plans and would tidy up the place, would make sure that everybody's house looked fairly neat, would make sure that everywhere that the king or whoever it was going to go was tidy and clean, and he would get a good impression of the domain upon which he rules. People knew that. That's the way that they lived. That's the way that things happened. And those things didn't happen all that often. So that is what's in mind when Luke writes these words here. I'm going to read a little bit before that. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, have we got it on there, Ryan? The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. This is talking about John. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight and the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. Just take the beginning and end. Prepare and you will see. Prepare the way for the Lord, and all men will see God's salvation. This was a bit obvious, but not obvious. Because what Luke was writing here as the mission of John, and John is quite typical of what we would consider the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare a people prepared for the Lord, to make a people ready for the Lord. They had to sort of be redirected and educated. That's what Luke's getting at. Because, of course, they were looking in the wrong direction. They obviously, understandably, and logically saw the problem as Rome. So when anybody used the word salvation, which at its base level just means rescue, one thing came into mind, a big smile swept across their face because they believed that this was overthrow time. This was rescue. This was salvation. Finally, our great hero is going to march in on his chariot and blow all these Romans out of the water, and we are going to be free people again, being able to dictate our own rules and live in the way that we want to live according to our right and culture and principles. Understandably, they wanted that. But Luke's saying John's on his way here to prepare a way so that he can see the salvation of God. But actually, the message of that, this rests on your very own doorstep in your own life and in your own heart. There's an intention of God here, and what he's about means that the landscape has got to change. But not the landscape outside of you, the landscape inside of you. Not military victory, but Messiah revealed. Hearts, not circumstances. As you hear that simple picture, it's got to resonate with you and I today, surely. Take away the word Rome and put whatever you want in there. Salvation, we want rescue. We're sick of the politics and what goes on there that seems to just mock people. We're sick of poverty in the way that some people have to just beg and steal and borrow to be able to just fund and feed their own basic needs and family. We're sick of people rising up and killing people in the name of, well, whatever they call it. We call it war. The catalogue could go on and on and on and on. Let's just call it all Rome. The circumstances around us that we'd love to see change, different, blown away, so that we could live free people, being able to live in the way that we want to live with the culture and principles that we have got. Yep. You see, you've probably got this message already, because it's not the world that needs changing. It's our world that needs changing. That's the way that God works. And I picked on these two words: prepare and see. I want to see the salvation of God, I do. We sing about it. We read about it if you read your Bible. There's this sense of the mission of Christ was to bring salvation and hope to the world. Of course he did. But even we, as many of us here who have been long-standing Christians, people who know the scriptures, who have done all this 1,000 times before, sometimes can get a bit hoodwinked into the fact that actually if we just sit here and pray hard enough and long enough and whatever, all that out there is going to be changed, and we're going to open our eyes and the world's going to be beautiful, glorious, happy, sunshining, never a worry or a care. I have to tell you, if that's the gospel that you believe in, I need to sort of redirect your thoughts this morning. If we're going to see the salvation of God, the rescue of God, there's some preparation that has to take place. Like the railway that's going to be built eventually, things have to change to make the thing happen that they need to happen. We can go the long route, we can go the short route. I guess when you click a postcode in your sat nav, mine's the same. Quite often it's searching for the quickest route, the fastest route, the without obstacles, without interruptions. You can get there if you go this way a bit quicker than if you go that way. That's the whole idea of it all. And I'm not going to labour them, there's four very simple, obvious things that Luke highlights that John is going to instigate if we're going to truly see the salvation, the rescue of God. He talks about something being filled, something being lowered, something being straightened, and something being smoothed. So tune in. Take hold of what God's intention is for your life and for my life. And let's begin to line ourselves up and respond in the way that God wants to do. So he paints this picture. It's a beautiful picture. These are words from Isaiah, the prophet, all those years ago when he's speaking about the coming Messiah to the then Hebrew people. Fill the valleys. Top them up. Level them out. Obvious, isn't it, really, if we're talking about filling? If we're going to see the rescue and the salvation of God, the intention of God for our lives and for this world through us, then the valleys have to be filled. Our lives have to be full of God's word and God's presence. It's the fuel that our faith is driven on. And if you're not seeing the rescue of God, then perhaps look at where the valleys are in your life and look at how empty or how full they are. Is it drought time? Are the reservoirs of your life full? Are they empty? Is it that when you open the valve to let the water flow into wherever it is, there's no water there to flow? The classic, you can't pour out of an empty cup. How does that get filled? We welcome the Holy Spirit. We engage in worship. We read God's word and it fills us. You know those times when you're probably feeling a bit weak, a bit barren as a Christian, and then you read a story or you watch that little video clip that Luke's put together. If you saw it on Facebook or whatever, last Sunday's baptism, wow! That's now in every continent around the world, I think. People energized because they see something and hear a story and encounter somebody that stirs them. You'll find it by reading this book and this magazine. And suddenly you feel full of faith, don't you? You feel like you're gonna beat the devil with a cotton bud. Bring it on, buddy boy. You're only small to me. That's what David did when he beat Goliath, wasn't it? He'd had victories in his life. His reservoir was full so that when he came, he said, come on, mate. This lot are scared you. I'm not. Fill the valleys, our heart and mind filled with God's word and presence, the fuel that runs our faith. Lower the hills. So get the picture. We're looking for God's salvation. We're wanting to see something. And if there's a mountain or a hill in the way, you're not going to see it. Gosh, this is deep, isn't it? So what might it be that we need to lower to clear the way so we can see God's rescue in our lives? What could be blocking the view? Our confidence in God's ability. The fact that we're not focusing on Him, we're actually focusing on the situation. Bring it down, lower it down. Make sure that you can see. Straighten the crooked. Any crooked people here? I see them hands. Crooked, I don't know. You can put whatever you want on that. Perhaps there's something sinful that is just great in our lives. Niggles that we keep coming back to. And they frustrate us. They trip us up. We're constantly apologizing to God and saying, I'm not going to do it the next time. And then the next time, I'm not going to do it. We've all done it. Straighten the crooked. Smooth the rough. That's allowing God's grace to permeate every vein, every tissue, every sinew, every muscle of our lives. So that every response that we give and every act that we have is full of grace, which is Jesus Christ. Took me a lot of years when, you know, them little bands came out, WWJD. You know, as a married man, I thought it was, what would Jane do? Somebody taught me, no, it's Jesus, mate. Oh, sorry, mate. Looking flipping, act like. Listen to both. Love you, darling. Allow grace to dictate. And that will smooth, you know, like that oil that you put in the engine. That means that all that friction that possibly could be there is not there because the oil is just smoothing the movement of what goes on. That's the way that grace works in our lives, by allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. Prepare and see. Clearing the way for the King to come. I've got a friend, that sounds. At last, 62 nearly, I've got a friend. Got a friend who many years ago worked in the sort of maintenance department of the big hospital in Nottingham, Queen's Hospital. If ever you've been there or driven in, you see it. Massive hospital. A little bit of interesting information here, designed by an architect who run marathons. If you walk all the corridors of the hospital, it's 26 miles. I think. It's the Queen's Hospital. I'm talking 25, 30 years ago, the Queen was coming to visit the hospital. My mate, this is perfectly true, was given a budget of £20,000 for the toilet. Just in case, Lizzie, you know, because she does have to do all them things like we do. She's not beyond, you know, she's fantastic, but she's not beyond human function. 20 grand. And I vaguely remember him telling me about the gold taps and all this sort of thing and the scented toilet paper like many of you have. Sorry, we're not there yet in your toilet. And of course, she'd probably been before she arrived. Never got used. Great toilet, though. 20 grand for a toilet. I'd be like, want to be the first one in, wouldn't you? Like, I don't need a whatever, but I'm going, you know. Like, the Queen could have sat here. She didn't, no. Different thrones were for her. I'm on a roll here, Mary, just... Preparation to be made so that you might see the rescue of God. We live in a very imperfect world. James alluded to that a few minutes ago as we began worship. And we know outside of heaven, it's not going to get any less imperfect, sadly, because sin still dominates the skyline. But God's salvation and rescue is that we can live in peace and freedom in an imperfect world before heaven comes. And we remember it by this. Death and resurrection that opened the way, blew the mountains down, lifted up the valleys, straightened out the ways, smoothed out the paths, so that you and I could come and see God's salvation for ourselves. Wow, thank you, God. But that's not an event, it's an ongoing lifestyle. It's something we have to appropriate, apply time and time and time again. Yeah, we look back. Yeah, we're going to remember in a minute. But day by day by day, I wake up and face the trials of a new day and the challenges of what I'm going to hear and the prayers that might come and be needed. And there's all sorts of things that can stop me looking to God instead of going, just what is this world coming to? Not a problem with saying that. As long as we go and say, God has got this. The earth is the Lord, Psalm 24, and everything in it. Whatever goes on, whatever despot might rise to the surface, I believe that God is sovereign. And I believe that you and I can experience his salvation, but let's make some preparation. If you're not seeing it, if your life is blurred, if there's blockages, if it seems like you just keep dropping down into a valley, fill it. Knock it down, straighten it out, smooth it. And in your life, see the rescue of God so that whatever's going on around, you can live with peace and in peace. Why? Because Christ, the great salvation bringer, lives in here. And I want to take the opportunity, not just to share communion, that's why we've got plenty of time now, to pray. Because there might be some people here who are long-standing Christians, but somehow things have got blurred for whatever reason. Somehow there are things that keep blocking the view of being able to see what God is about. Somehow you seem to be, you know, walking over all the ways that are not straight or smooth. And this morning isn't going to solve all that. But what I'm inviting you to do in a moment is to receive prayer and say, God, I want to see your salvation. So show me, help me, inspire me, challenge me, whatever it needs. So that in my world, the world of Steve, I might appreciate, understand, and apply the rescue of God. Oh, Jesus.